Deuteronomy chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 through 9. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes, and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous, as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So we pray. Father, we thank thee for the provision you've made for us in giving to us the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. We pray that thou wouldst, by thy Spirit at this time, open up the eyes of our understanding, that we might see in this word that which you see that we so desperately need, that we might live and not only have life, but life abundantly, as you've promised us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Our topic tonight is the witness of godliness. Perhaps some of you saw in the paper, I think it was this week, a little cartoon of a lady sitting in front of a desk. Behind the desk was an illustrious-looking gentleman. On the door to the office were the words, investment counselor. And here this lady was sitting facing this investment counselor, and she makes the following statement. I'd have more confidence in your advice if you weren't my husband. The implication being, of course, that for some reason or other, we have reasons who we choose to go to for certain kinds of advice. Now, we all need advice at times, and we all tend to go to some people and not to others. We tend to pick and choose who we are going to go to for advice. And God here in this portion of Scripture tells Israel that he wants them to so build their lives that they will be able to be wise and understanding people, that others will go to them for advice and they will have something worthwhile to say to them. In verses 6 through 8 especially, God says so clearly, he says, keep therefore and do them, referring to the words that he is giving to them here. He says, this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. And God wanted them to be amongst the nations a wise and understanding people. He said, the people around you then will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So God says, I want you to be a people that will be known to be a people of wisdom, so that those who are looking for answers to their problems will know that they can go to you and get help. And then he says, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them? He said, I want you to be a people who are known to be near to God. Not just a religious people. The world is full of religious people. And that doesn't always mean too much. People can become fanatically, crankily religious. He says, I want you to be a people that will be recognized as people who are close to God, so that those who are looking for God will come to you to find out how they can get close to God. And when they run across problems in their lives, they'll search you out, because they'll be sure that you can help them and that you will have answers, because it will be obvious that you are a wise and understanding people. Now, this is what happened in the case of Solomon. The Queen of Sheba traveled many, many miles to come and hear the wisdom of Solomon. And God intended that the entire nation of Israel have this same reputation, and that every Israelite be known as a person of godly wisdom, a person who would know what to do when the issues of life press down upon us. Now, Moses here in this section of Scripture tells Israel what they have to do in order to become that kind of people. And so let's look at this section. First of all, we want to notice God's provision for them that they might become that kind of people. First of all, God's provision, we find God provided them with statutes. Notice we have in verse 1, Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you. God provided them with statutes. The same thing is mentioned in verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. We have the same thing again in verse 8. What nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous? And so God provided them, first of all, with statutes. And the word there implies, actually, the basic meaning of that word is to engrave or to inscribe. And so these statutes were something that were engraved or inscribed, and a succeeding meaning of that then would be something that was fixed or appointed, established. And so these then would be the basic laws of life. And this is what God gave to the nation of Israel. He gave to them his statutes, chukim, which would be basic rules of life, basic laws of life. And this is what he gave to them. You notice each of these places where we read, it mentions not only statutes, it mentions also his judgments. The judgments that he gave to them were then the decisions, the mishpatim, the decisions based on these basic laws that apply to specific cases. And so he gives them his statutes, his basic principles of life, and he also gives to them judgments, which are specific decisions based upon these statutes. Now, we have examples of this, for example, in Exodus chapter 20. That's the chapter where we have the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are statutes that God gave to Israel. We know that they were inscribed in stone, two tables of stone on which these statutes were inscribed. And so these were the basic principles of life. Then in Exodus chapter 21, the chapter begins with the following words. Moses says, Now these are the judgments thou shalt set before them. And the word there, again, is mishpatim. These are the judgments. In other words, the decisions for daily life, practical decisions, based upon the general principles. And so these judgments are based upon the statutes. And in that chapter, he goes into the matter of the treatment of servants, how an employer should treat his employee, or in that case, they were servants that were hired servants. And he says, this is the way you should treat them. And so in the Ten Commandments, we have the basic principles on how we should love God first and our neighbor as ourselves, the two main divisions of the Ten Commandments. And then from there, in 21, he goes right into the explanation of that. And he says, now, here are some examples of how these general principles apply in these specific situations. And so you read the Ten Commandments, and you say, here we have the general principles. And you say, well, how does this apply to a man who hires somebody to work for him? And Moses says in chapter 21, this is how it applies in this particular situation. So we have these two categories then. The principles of life, the statutes, and then the judgments that are the applications of those principles to specific situations. Now, in Scripture, in the Bible, in the Word of God, we have all the basic principles that we need for a life of godliness. We're told this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Peter says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So God has given to us in Scripture all the basic principles that we need. They're all there. All scattered through Scripture, but they're there. All of the principles that we need to be able to live a life of godliness. We have them all. But we do not have in Scripture all of the judgments, the applications of these principles to specific situations. And in Scripture, we only have some of the judgments. God gives us some of the ways in which these basic principles are applied so that we can then, from there, go on and apply the principles to our own particular situations. That's why many times people will say, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. And it's true, there is no specific statement regarding that particular thing, perhaps. But the Bible does give us the principles involved. And not only does God give us the principles involved, he gives us enough of the judgments, the applications of the principles, so that we can see how God applies the principles. And so we need to do two things. First of all, we need to search out the principles. And secondly, we need to study the illustrations he has given us of how he applies those principles in the situations that he mentions, so that we can see what are the proper ways of applying the principles to our situations. And so we then have to search out additional judgments, additional applications of the principles. Now, the principles have only one meaning. The principles are clear in that they have just one basic meaning. But the principles have many, many applications. You can gain many judgments from that. And so, Scripture then gives us some judgments to show how we should make these applications. The one particular meaning of each principle then can be applied to many, many situations and give us many, many judgments. Now, that's why Moses, here in verse 2, warns the Israelites. He says, now, when you are searching out additional judgments, additional applications of the principles to specific situations, you want to be careful not to misuse the principle. You want to be careful that you do not add to it or detract from it in the judgment that you make from the principle. When you make an application based upon the statute, make sure that the application faithfully interprets the basic meaning of the statute. And so he says, beware, ye shall not add unto the word which I have given unto you, nor detract from it. And so we are very clearly warned here not to make applications that would nullify the principle. Now, the Pharisees did that in the New Testament. We are told of the situation where the Pharisees took the commandment that says, ye shall honor your father and your mother. And they, from that statute, developed a judgment. And the judgment was what they called Corban. And Corban means it's a gift. And they would say to the people, now you can say, whatever I have is a gift to God. And since you then have given your possessions to God, you have dedicated them to God, that means then that you cannot use them to help your parents. Because after all, you've given them to God, you can't take them back from God. And so the Lord Jesus says to the Pharisees, what you have done is by your judgment, the application of the principle, you have voided the principle itself, the statute. He says, Moses says, be careful that you don't do that. Because the purpose of the statute is to lead us into wisdom, that we might have proper answers to daily situations. And if we twist the principle to get a judgment that we like, an application that suits us, it will not be a wise one. So Moses says, be very careful not to do that. Make sure that your judgment does not take away from or add to the statute, or it will not be wisdom, and it will lead you to disaster. And so that's why we're told, Moses tells him in verse 2, be careful of that. And he also tells them that, he says, I want you to, verse 2, he says, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God. And the word keep there does not mean obey. In other places, it would have that implication. There are other places where we're told to obey the word of God. But here, this particular word keep, shamar, does not mean to obey. It means to guard like a watchman. Shomer is a watchman. And so he says, I want you to guard these principles very carefully and watch over them so that you do not distort them. And in developing your judgments, the applications of these principles, make sure you do not take away from or add to the basic principle itself. And so you are to guard these things and not invalidate the principle by adding to or taking away from the principle, but making sure that our judgments conform to the statutes. And so God then made a provision for the Israelites that they might be this wise and understanding and godly people by giving them, first of all, these statutes, his basic principles of life. Secondly, giving them some of his judgments so that they could see the method by which he applies those statutes to the decisions of daily life. Then Moses here says, God's given you something else. And the third thing that he has given them is his testimonies. And in verses 3 and 4, we have one of these. Moses says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Now Moses is referring to something that happened not too long before the time of his speaking here, preaching this sermon to the Israelites. And it's found in the book of Numbers, chapter 25. This is the incident that Moses is referring to. This is what happened. Something that was very vivid in their imaginations, very vivid in their minds yet, because they had only recently gone through this situation. Probably within the past year, they had gone through this horrible situation that we read of in Numbers chapter 25. We're going to read Numbers 25 verses 1 through 9 to give us an idea of the background of this. Numbers 25 verse 1, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. 24,000 people that died because of the fact that they ignored one of God's basic principles. In fact, two of the Ten Commandments here. The commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. They went and they bowed down before these idols. And thou shalt not commit adultery. And that's exactly what they were doing with these Midianitish women. And God here then brought his judgment, devastating results upon the people. And as a result, 24,000 died. And those who were left had vivid memories of this situation. Perhaps many of them had friends and relatives that died in this situation. They had personally experienced this situation, and they had been spared because they had obeyed the principles of the Word of God. Now, we read this illustration here in Scripture. God has recorded this illustration for us so that we would realize that this happened. And we have many, many other illustrations in Scripture. Many other illustrations of how people have either been blessed as they have obeyed the Word of God, or how they have have experienced the wrath of God upon their lives because they have disobeyed the Word of God. And so these testimonies then are illustrations from daily life. And these people had this illustration right before their eyes. It had just happened to them. And so God has given then to us as well illustrations. We have many of them in Scripture. We have many of them that God gives to us in daily life. And if we have our eyes open, we will see in daily life how God will bless the person who obeys his word. We'll see how God will bring judgment into the life of the person who disobeys, disregards the word of God. And so Moses here says to Israel, he says, your eyes have seen. One of these very vivid testimonies of how the principles of God's word apply to our lives. So God gave them three provisions. The basic principle of life, the statutes. The judgments, examples of how to interpret those statutes and apply them to our lives. And thirdly, the testimonies, living illustrations of how God works in daily life. Now, what was the intended response? God tells them, he says, now this is what I have provided for you. This then is to be your response. And the first thing he tells them in verse 1, he says, I want you to hearken. Now, the word hearken here in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 4 means basically to pay attention. He said, I want you to hearken, to hear, to listen, to pay attention to these principles. Brethren, we cannot afford to daydream through our devotions, our time of reading Scripture for ourselves, our times of public worship, our times of group Bible study, our Sunday school classes. We cannot afford to be daydreaming and letting Scripture just go by. Because we're told here that we are to pay attention to everything that God says. Because it's extremely important for our lives. In Psalm 119, verse 9, the question is asked, Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. In other words, how are we going to have a life that is pleasing to God? And the way, the psalmist says, is by taking the word of God and finding out from the word of God what are God's basic principles of life, and then determining how those principles of life apply to our particular lives now in this generation, and the Bible is relevant for this generation, and then watching, keeping our eyes open, paying attention to see how God applies these principles in daily life, through his blessing or his judgment. And as we apply Scripture to our lives, that's how we cleanse them. And we make them godly and we grow in wisdom and understanding. And you know, if we could only understand, if we could only see, if we could only perceive, if we could only grasp how important Scripture is to our lives, we would not let day after day go by without getting into the Word of God and building Scripture into our minds, our hearts, our wills, our emotions. Without building the Word of God into our lives, without chewing on the Word of God. What we mean by that is just as the cow will eat the grass and then later it'll spend hours just chewing upon it, digesting it. So also I believe God, we're told in Scripture that we should meditate on these things day and night. Well, you can't sit there and study the Bible day and night. You have other things you have to do. But we can meditate on Scripture day and night. And the way we do that is in the morning we take a verse of Scripture and we memorize that verse of Scripture and we check out anything we want we don't understand about it. We look up the words. We take our Strong's Concordance and check through the meaning of the words and get the facts. What is that verse really saying? And then all day long we can chew on that verse. We can meditate on it. If we're walking down the street, if we're riding along in the car, if we're waiting in a line, any spare moment we have, we can be thinking about that verse of Scripture. And as we do that, God, by His Holy Spirit, will open up that verse of Scripture to our minds. And we build Scripture not only in our minds. Memorization is only the beginning. We build Scripture into our lives as we meditate upon it. And certainly if we could understand how important Scripture is, how important these principles of Scripture are, we would be more faithful in doing this. And so we need to ask ourselves, am I building Scripture into my life? And God says, I want you to pay attention. Pay attention to what I say in my Word. Pay attention to how I apply what I say to situations of life. Pay attention to how I either bless or judge situations of life according to whether a person follows my Word or not. And so we're told, first of all, to hearken. We're told also in verse 2 to keep, as we've seen before. The word there is to guard or preserve. Be careful about twisting the Word of God. You know, it's a tremendous temptation that some people fall into of twisting the Word of God to get it to mean what they want it to mean. Now, when you go to Scripture, don't go with any preconceived ideas. Don't go with the idea that you're going to decide whether or not this is right or not. You go to Scripture to find out whether or not you're right, not whether or not it's right. It's the Word of God. And as you go to Scripture, make sure you keep it. Make sure you don't add to it or detract from it, but find out exactly what it means and exactly how it applies to your life now. Make sure that the applications do not violate the principles. And thirdly, we are commanded, verse 5, to do. Moses says in verse 5, Behold, I have taught you the statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Moses says the purpose of meditating on Scripture is to put it into practice, to mold our lives according to the teaching of Scripture. Now, what's the result of this? The result we find, first of all, in verse 1. Moses says, I've given you these statutes and judgments that ye may live. And this is truly the life. And God says, you will have a life of blessing. You will have an unbelievably abundant life. You will have an exciting, thrilling life if you will only attend to the principles of my word and apply them to your life. And so the first result, he says, you will live, and I'll take you into this promised land, a land of milk and honey, a land of blessing, and you will have an unbelievably enjoyable life there. And this is what Jesus promised as well. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it abundantly. God wants us to have an abundant life, and this is through His Word, through the Scripture. And so He says, first of all, the result is you will live. Secondly, he says in verse 6, you will be a wise and understanding people. In other words, you will be wise in that you will make the right decisions in life because you will clearly see the issues involved. Now, God's principles apply to the basic issues of life. And when we understand the principles of the Word of God, then we begin to see the basic issues in life. You know, one of Satan's prime ways of deceiving us is blinding our eyes to the real issues. And we make all kinds of decisions. We exercise our brains and we think about something long. We get a lot of facts together and we come to a conclusion. We make a decision. We make that decision without seeing the real issues in life. And God says, if you will keep my statutes, then you will be a wise people because you will see the real issues that are involved. You will be an understanding people, a prudent people, in that not only will you see the issues involved, but you will learn to respond in your own life in the way that God responds to life. You will learn to respond the way He thinks. And so you will make right decisions. Now, at the moment you make them, there will probably be a lot of people that will laugh and say, you know, look what he's doing. How dumb can you be? Because the natural heart does not accept the things of God, and the natural mind does not work the way God's mind works. And God says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways, as high as the heaven is above the earth. That's how high my ways are above your ways. So God's ways right on the surface at the moment to the natural mind look like foolishness. That's why the preaching of the cross is foolishness. We preach that a man is not saved by his own good works, his own self-effort, but that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that we have sinned and that he died for our sins. And as we trust him as our Savior, our sin-bearer, then God forgives us because Jesus died for our sins. And God then gives us new life because Jesus Christ comes to live in our hearts. And this to the natural mind is foolishness because the natural mind loves to work and make his own way. He doesn't realize that he's lost in sin and undone. And so God's answers don't always look to the natural mind to be the answer, the way that we should go. But God says, if you will study my principles, you'll see the real issues involved, and you will make the right decisions, and you will go in the right path. You will be a wise and understanding people, and you will have an abundant life. And so this is the result, then, of incorporating the principles of the Word of God in our daily lives. Now, we're told this very same thing again in the New Testament. The result that we will be a wise and understanding people, we will have a wise and understanding life. And in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, this is exactly what we're told. Peter says to the believers to whom he writes in his day, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, you set God apart in your heart in a very special way. In other words, to you, God becomes very important and his word becomes your norm. And as you sanctify God in your heart, he says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, he says, I want you to be ready always to give an answer. Now, that implies something. If they are to be ready to give an answer, that means there are people that are going to ask them some questions. And Peter knew that's what would happen. He says, as you set God apart in your life, and make him the center of your life, and you set the principles of the Word of God as the norm of your life, people are going to start asking you questions. And then, as you practice getting judgments from the principles, as you practice applying the principles of the Word of God to your own daily life, to the situations of your own daily life, you're going to find answers. You're going to say, hey, that works. I never realized that before. Isn't that tremendous? As you apply the scriptures to your life, you'll find that these things are real. These are true. And then people are going to start asking you, say, now, how is it
that you do this.
Or,
I've noticed that you do that. Now, what should I do in this situation? People will come and ask you questions. And Peter says very clearly, he says, get ready, because they're going to ask you. They're going to ask you what to do in this particular situation, because they will sense that you are close to God and that you have answers for problems that come into our daily lives. This is the witness of godliness. I remember reading Dr. Walter Wilson, one of his little booklets. He tells about how one day he went into a bookstore and he needed a little notebook. He had the habit of writing on one side of the little notebook the prayer requests that he had. On the other side, he'd write the answers. When God answered his prayer, he'd write how God answered that prayer. And his little book was full, and so he said, well, I guess I need a new book. So he walked in this little store and said to the man, he said, I need a little notebook. The man said, well, I have all sizes. What do you need it for? And so Dr. Wilson said, well, he said, on the one side, I write my prayer requests, the things I'm asking God for. And on the other side, I write the answers when God answers. And the man walked out from behind the counter and came around to him and said, do you know God? And right there, Dr. Wilson had the privilege of explaining to him how Christ died for our sins on the cross, that because of our sins, our rebellion against God, that we are headed for a lost eternity. The wages of sin, separation from God for all eternity, that Christ bore our sins on the cross. And the Word of God commands us to repent of our sins and to believe the gospel, trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And as this man heard this, this is exactly what he did. He repented of his sins and he trusted Christ. And he was born again by the Spirit of God as God spoke to his heart and forgave him his sin. And, you know, all that weight of sin just leaves. What a joy. And Dr. Wilson said, you know, how God used such a simple little thing. And because that man recognized, he says, do you know God? He saw that here was a man that knew God, and he wanted to know God. Other times you'll find that people have real problems. There's no lack of problems in the world today. And they're looking for people who have answers. And when they see that you have answers to your problems, because you have problems too, we all have problems, God graciously allows us to have problems so that we might go to his word and find the principles that apply to those problems. And then find how they apply, the judgments of how they apply right now to this problem. And as people see that you have answers for your own problems, then they'll come and say, what should I do? And God says to Israel through Moses, he says, this is what I want you to be. I want you to be a nation of people who are known to know God and to have the answers to problems of life. And so this faithful fellowship with God and searching of his word is what builds in our lives that which will draw men and women to Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And so when Christ is lifted up in our lives, it draws people to him. And as Israel grew in godliness and in the knowledge of the word of God, God then planned that all the nations around would come to them and say, we recognize that you know God, and we want to know the God that you know. You know what Jesus said about the Pharisees? He says, you cross land and sea to make one proselyte. You know, the Pharisees had to go chasing to find somebody whose arm they could twist and get them to be a Pharisee like they were. Jesus said, you just chase all over the place. You'll cross land and sea to make one proselyte. But Jesus' intention for the nation was not that. His intention was that the nations would come looking to Israel for help and saying, how can we get to know your God? How can we have the peace that you have in spite of what you're going through? How can we have the joy in our lives that you have in spite of the problems we've seen that have come into your life too? How can we know God? Because we know that you know Him. And this was God's intention, that Jesus Christ would be lifted up, so lifted up in their lives that men and women would be drawn to Him. And so Peter says, get ready. Get ready to answer the questions of those who come asking you how to know God and how to handle the things that they face in life. So we pray. Father, we thank you that you have made this provision for us now as well. We have Scripture. We have the Word of God. And in this Word of God, we have all of the principles that we need for a life of godliness. There's nothing lacking. You've provided everything we need. They're all here. Principles that apply to absolutely every situation of life. Thank you, Father, that you've given us enough of your judgments, the decisions, examples of how to apply these principles so that we can learn how to apply them to the situations of our lives today. But Father, this is going to take some work. We're going to have to read the Bible. We're going to have to study the Bible. We're going to have to meditate upon the Bible. We're going to have to chew over these verses and ask the Spirit of God to be our teacher, to know how to properly apply the principles so that we don't take away from them or add to them, but that we apply them properly to our lives. And then that we would be wide awake and keep our eyes open and see how you deal with our lives, how you deal with us, how you deal with the people around us, how judgment or blessing can come into a life because of obedience to or disobedience against these principles. And in these ways, Father, you've made it possible for us to become a wise and understanding people who know God and know how to live. Father, from our culture today, we've learned many wrong things, many wrong ways of life. And these wrong ways of life have brought much sorrow into our lives. We pray that we might be faithful to hearken, to pay attention to your word, to keep it, to guard it jealously, and to do it, that we might prove in our own lives that these things are so. We thank you, Father, we've seen this time and time again. These things are so. We praise you for this and pray that you would make us, each and every one of us here tonight, a people who do know their God, who know their God and know how to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.